This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and a wonderful Monday morning to you and yours, DiPietro and Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. We have so much to do. The excitement level is, you can taste it. You can taste it. Stick your tongue out, Rick. Do you taste it?
Yeah, I taste it.
Why are you doing that to me, by the way?
No. I did nothing to you.
Well, I saw that. Why did you do that?
No, I was pointing.
With your middle finger.
No, that's not what that was.
No?
No.
That's what it felt like it was.
How dare you?
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Had a long weekend.
What happened?
Well, wife was away with Alex, lacrosse, the national championship qualifying.
Wow, how'd they do?
They did not qualify. It's very competitive.
So great.
He went, how about this? I love this kid. He went up against a kid. So you know Alex, he's tiny, right? He's like 4'11 and a half. And he's the youngest in the entire class. He only qualifies for this current world qualifying by 4 days, right? His birthday is August 27th,
so he barely
qualifies. He went up against a defender that had a beard.
Stop!
I swear, he was 6'1" with a beard.
That's hilarious.
And Sherry's like, "You've never seen anything like it." I was like, "Well, how's he?" And I guess he did fine. So the teams are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's good for him, though.
It's great for him. And he had such a great mindset, too. He's like, I realize after this what I have to work on. I was like, good for
you. He's got that mentality, though. He's not afraid to work.
No. So
he's like a little honey badger.
Yes. So you have to go 2-2 or better in the qualifying round. They went 1-3. And then they have one game Sunday, and they won that game. So, yeah, they went 2-3. They did a 10 of 23 qualify for the World Series, and they finished 12 or 13. So they didn't make it, but whatever. It's not a big deal. The big deal was I was on my own with Ben back at the ranch.
Oh, no.
Back at the house. That means I'm doing dishes. That means I'm waking up at all hours of the night to take care of the dogs. I'm doing everything. And I got to be honest, I was elite.
College basketball. There's a lot happening for you this weekend.
Well, so think about this now. College basketball goes to like 12:30, maybe midnight. Then I got to, you know, go through all the sheets and score all the sheets and figure out the standings and everything. And then the dogs are up at 5:30 in the morning.
Ugh.
So I'm on very little sleep this weekend. And the weekend is usually when I catch up. So typically Mondays I have a lot of energy and I'm really good. Today I don't. It might be all you.
I'll carry us. I think you'll be fine, though. I mean, it feels like you've been shot out of a cannon right now. I don't know if it's adrenaline or whatever.
Probably
but you feel
so.
Like you're in good spirits.
Yeah, listen, I'm in good spirits, but you never know how long this is going to last for.
Well, whenever you start to fail, I can carry. I'll carry a little bit
okay.
If I have to.
You should see me with dishes, though. Oh,
yeah, forget the dishes. I want to know what you made to eat.
Well,
or ordered.
What did I make to eat?
Apple, hammer, saw, maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
Friday night, Now, when you say made to eat, I think Friday night I had a turkey wrap. I made that by myself, but
okay.
Yeah, and then with some soup and a little cup of applesauce.
Nice.
Saturday, I don't have any recollection what I had on Saturday.
I'm not really concerned about what you had as opposed to like what you made for your son who has,
he's 16. I'm not even sure I made him anything.
Yeah, well, he's 16, but I mean, he needs his nutrients. He's got a big week coming up.
I think he had turkey burgers on Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a big-time starting position now on the varsity baseball team. He's got to be ready.
Today's the first game.
Right.
Yeah, first game.
But can't have him out there getting all, I mean, he's malnutritioned, and all of a sudden, midway through the third inning, he starts to bonk a little bit.
Wait till you start dealing with when your children get to be like 16.
And well, like, I got my hands full when he's eight.
I don't think you're having enough protein on it. It's fine. Don't worry. It's fine. I think it's fine. I have whatever you want. You want a mozzarella stick for dinner? Have a mozzarella stick. I don't care at this point.
He's just beat you into submission at this point.
I've even stopped asking him to do things now. Like, you know, typically it's like, can you walk the dogs?
I'm
like,
why wear pants?
Forget it. I'll just walk.
You got to trick them. I think the key is to trick them into thinking it's their idea.
Well, he's very good at this game.
He's beating you right now.
He's terrific. This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations, enormous locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. So 1-800-919-3776-2. Two big stories. The Knicks with a big, big game. Big game tonight. I'm telling you right now, Knicks lose this game tonight, I will be shot out of a cannon in a negative way tomorrow. I'm not expecting that. They have to win this game. Case closed. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Well, by the way, though, what? On top of the fact that thank you, Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando beats Brooklyn last night.
Because Brooklyn destroyed Miami.
On Saturday, yes. But that's a tough trip now, though. The Miami-Orlando back-to-back without a day off.
Right. Mikal Bridges went crazy, but it wasn't enough.
Right. What do you have, 44 last night? Yes. Thank you to Orlando. So the Knicks are in position where, we said it last week, I think it rings true even more so now. If they don't wind up, the four is forgetting. You're not going to get that. If they don't get the five, this has been a disaster of a finish to the season.
Yeah, it's right there. It's sitting right there for them. Just take it and let's move forward and let's see what we have against Cleveland.
Were you all in on the college basketball this weekend?
Dude, not only the men's. I was watching. I watched a lot of the women's too.
I made the mistake of it because she's unbelievable.
Dude, and she might be the. I don't even know as far as like most valuable athlete in all of sports. Caitlin Clark, man.
She's unbelievable.
Holy, she does everything for that team.
What did she have, 41 points, and she had double-digit assists? She had a triple-double.
Triple-double.
The first 40-point triple-double in the history of women's college basketball. And you know what, by the way? I don't watch a ton of women's college basketball, but stop with the whole sexist crap of, oh, it's not that good. She's awesome.
Awesome.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she was, dude. Like, she single-handedly. I think she scored or assisted on, like, 72 points.
And they score a lot of points. What, they have, like, 97 points last night, Iowa?
Yeah, but she does everything.
Oh, she is a phenomenal, phenomenal player. I don't know. I can't stand with the people always looking to, you know, chop others down of, well, it's women's college basketball. No one cares. You know, people care. And I care.
Anyone that says that, she would dice you up. She would dice you up. You wouldn't even have a chance against her.
No, you'd have no chance. She's awesome. And her post-game interview was awesome. But the men's, I mean, we had some. First of all, it started on Saturday. That Florida Atlantic-Kansas State game, what a game that was.
It was a great game.
What's Marquise Noel? How good was he?
Dude, he is the definition of a point guard. Like, he is the quintessential floor general. His ability to pass is top notch.
It reminds me of like almost like a Rajon Rondo. You know, he just makes others so much better around him. But the thing is, he's 5'8", and he hoists up these 30-footers and he hits them. He's awesome. So that was the game on Saturday. And then you have, you know, the game yesterday. Well, both games yesterday I thought were very entertaining. The first one, what's your take, foul
that
or
was
no
a
foul?
Joke.
Yeah, you agree, right?
That's a joke, man.
Terrible. You know why to me it was such a bad call?
How the game was officiated the entire game?
That's exactly right. That's exactly it. If the game was called very closely every step of the way and they called that, I'm not going to freak out. But the game was played like a civil war. And then in the final moment of the game, he put his hand on his hip. And did he push him? I don't even think he pushed him. But regardless of that, they call a foul, misses the first. I was like, oh, my God. It would be poetic justice if he missed both, but he hits the second, and then they come down, and then they have to replay the whole final play. But I thought it was a terrible call.
How many free throws? You probably know because you watched it, but how many free throws do you think San Diego State took in that game?
I don't know.
Including those two.
You have it in front of you? I'll say including those two, they took nine.
6.
Yeah. So they took 4 free throws aside from that play.
Come on, man.
Ridiculous.
I don't think it affected the shot. Was his hand on his hip? Yeah, his hand was on his hip, but I don't think it affected his shot. I mean, he got the shot off.
Kenny Smith said it affected the shot. I don't know.
Come on, Kenny.
I thought it was a bad call. And then, you know what I don't like also? Is they go to the whoever the official, the referee, like in the booth is, and I guess it was Gene Steratore yesterday. Can you ever once go against the actual officials?
Yeah, please.
Like, they're so, whatever the officials call, it's a tough call, and it's not 100% of the time, but I think he got it right there. I think they got it right. And then they replay the final play. It's like, well, they can take out a stopwatch and see exactly when it, fell out of bounds, and I think they got that right. Everything is right. Everything the officials do when it's this official in the booth is going to be the right call ever.
Dave Jackson does that every time, and it drives me crazy with the NHL stuff. Me and Torch tried to fight him one time with this goalie interference call that he on the point. But no, here's the other thing though. If that's a shot to tie the game up, maybe I understand it. Because I mean, letter of the law, it probably is a foul. But the way the game was officiated, it was tied. That game's, if he misses it or they don't, he missed it. If they don't call a foul, it's going into overtime. You're not deciding the game.
Right.
By calling that foul there, you're deciding the game. And if you're Creighton, you just sit there and hope the kid doesn't make free throws.
I can't believe he made the second. He made the first. I was like, oh my God, he's going to miss both. It'd be poetic justice.
That poor kid that committed that foul is going to think about that for the rest of his life. That will haunt him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I thought it was a real bad foul call. Here's Greg McDermott, head coach. You know who his son is, right? Greg McDermott? Yeah.
Dougie McBuckets.
Yeah, Doug McDermott. Now, here's another bonus for you. I believe this is accurate. Do you know who played high school basketball with Doug McDermott?
No.
Harrison Barnes.
Oh, really?
In Iowa, yes.
Wow, look at that.
This is the kind of nuance I add to the show.
This is what you bring to the table.
Here's Greg McDermott, head coach of Creighton, on the call at the end of the game.
No, I wasn't given an explanation. They just didn't think there was any time left. There was no call on the floor on whose ball it was, so I don't know. I'm not sure what they were reviewing. But I'm Pete, with all due respect, two teams played their tails off. Officiating's part of the game. We're not going to go there. We lost the game because we didn't do enough, and San Diego State did.
All right, so he was talking about the actual, like, the final play where they threw it deep, and that was a cannon from that kid. Here's Jay Billis on the actual foul call at the end of the game.
Every game is officiated in those 40 minutes. Was that a foul in most games? Yeah, it's a foul. But in that game, I would call it a very soft foul. That game was brutal. And did either team even make it into the one-on-one? It didn't seem like
it.
There were
only 17 free throws attempted in that game in a very, very physical game. A hard-played game.
Sure.
Not a dirty game, but a physical game.
Really physical. And so I would call it a soft foul. Here's what I would say. If that wasn't called, we wouldn't be discussing it because it was within the context of that particular game. If that were in the Miami-Texas game, I mean, they shot a ton of free throws in that game. It was far less physical. So it just depends on who's officiating the game.
They called no fouls and no foul shots the entirety of the game. And with less than a second to go or 1.2 seconds to go is when you decide to make that call. To me, I thought in that moment, for the way the game was officiated, it was a terrible job.
Yeah, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And I get what the coach is talking about. I mean, that's coach speak 101. Yeah, there are plenty of things. I mean, we were 2 of 17 from 3. I mean, and we missed some good looks. There are plenty of things we could have done. Like, every coach will tell you that once you start getting to those upper levels is, don't let the officiating decide the game. Don't give them a chance to decide the game. And when you put yourself in that spot, where, I mean, was it a foul? Yeah, I mean, I guess letter of the law, it's probably a foul. But, I mean, to Jay Billis' point.
But you let everything go the entire game.
Right, right. And then the last thing, I don't know. Maybe it's different now. Well, it started to get different as I was getting towards the end of my career where the officials, the referees kind of wanted to make it about themselves. But if I'm a referee, I don't want to make that call in that spot. Then you got the perfect out. The game's tied.
The game's tied, and you let them play the entire game. Again, I think Billis is right. The way the Miami game against Texas was called, they were in the double bonus with like 10 minutes to go in the second half. So fine. If that's the way you want to call it, and you've called it like that the entirety of the game, I don't have a problem with a foul call late. I have a problem when it's inconsistent. And that to me felt very inconsistent. That all game long, you can beat the crap out of each other, and then with a second to go, you kind of narrowly touch him on the hip, we're going to call that.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The second I saw it, I hated it. Like, I mean, Miami, for example, they shot 32 free throws. You heard combined in the Creighton-San Diego State game, there were 17.
Yeah, it really is amazing. Guess how many people have UConn, in my pool of over 100 people, have UConn winning the whole thing?
One. Yep.
That's right, one.
I noticed that in your beautiful comments. He was a UConn win away.
UConn win away. So how about this now?
Who's winning that pool, by the way?
A child.
No. Who's winning for his show purposes?
Show purposes, you and RJ tied.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
RJ.
You tied for like 73rd.
Doesn't matter. Does not matter. I've told you this once. I'll tell you 1,000 times. As long as I beat you, it doesn't matter.
You beat me.
Yes.
So here's the thing. RJ, would you agree with this? He beats me. He cares greatly. I beat him, but finished 72nd. I don't care at all.
I get Rick's point. Actually, we saved you. If we rewind back, you criticized me and Ray for not wanting to do a wager on this. You'd be riding up and down Columbus Avenue naked on a horse something.
You don't know. First of all, you don't know that that's accurate. Because
no,
Santiago,
that's accurate.
You don't know that.
Full size pony, and you would have been yelling.
Because Santiago did not participate. So, Raymond, do we know you would have been better than me? We don't know that.
Listen, I don't have great confidence, but at the same time, I mean, you were pretty confident in the NFL picks, and look how that turned out.
What do you mean? I didn't lose.
You didn't lose, but okay. You certainly didn't win.
Wow. Santiago, when he brings it, he brings the heat.
All right. By the way, I'm going to use the rundown again. I'm sure it's terrific. Let me start my
Santiago is like Ohtani against Trout. He's just bringing straight gas.
All right, Ray.
Right down the pipe. Come hit it.
I don't see how that's a shot, Rick. Honestly. I really don't.
Dave came into the week feeling good. Dave. A long rest and just bang, hitter, gone.
I got no rest. I told you I didn't sleep the entire weekend. Who's the other person on the show? Ray, Rick, Dave, and
who's the other person on the show? That sounds like a shot.
That sounds like one.
Really?
Yeah, that's
who's
a shot.
Who's the other person on the show?
I saw how you said it.
All right, fine. So Ray has one, and Dave has one. All right, I'm keeping this for the week.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Da-da!
What's wrong with you?
Shh. Da, da! I'm like Andy Kaufman when he does a little song, the Mighty Mouse song.
It's so good.
So your new shortstop, not you, because you're not a Yankees fan, but your new shortstop, and this was clearly the right move, Anthony Volpe. 21 years old, had a great spring training, is considered to be one of the gems of the Yankees in their future, and he is now named the Yankee shortstop on opening day. Did you see how they told Anthony Volpe?
I did.
How great was that?
It was amazing. Having been in those meetings, good and bad meetings, it's tough to describe how it feels to be in there, especially when you're getting sent down. But yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was the only choice. I mean, he had an unbelievable spring. They said it was going to be a competition.
Right.
He was clearly the best of the three. And you may have had, I mean, it sounded like they didn't give the actual names of players, but I would imagine Aaron Judge being one of the guys who was like, hey, guys, what
Let's
are we doing
keep
here?
Him. Yeah, keep him. Why would you not? Here is, this is such a great soundbite. Anthony Volpe finds out that he made the Yankees, and they kind of play a game with him. They make it sound like they're going to send him down, and then by the end, he finds out he's made the team.
Difficult conversation to have because you came in and played your ass off. Okay. You know, we talked about at the start of this being a competition and you killed it. But at the end of the day, you got 20 something games at AAA. There's always room for development. But at the end, I think that development should happen in the big leagues. Welcome to New York. Congratulations, brother. You earned it. You earned it. You earned it. I get you.
No, my heart's beating.
Oh, how great is that?
It's not that funny.
Oh, it's great.
It's not that funny.
It's great. I love it. I love it. This is what they do in locker rooms. You know this.
No, I know. But I'm telling you, I've been in those meetings when you're getting sent down. When the conversation starts like that, it's usually, I mean, he did it on purpose, obviously, to try to trick him.
Yeah, and you wanted to send the message that you're not going to make it. And then
yeah, but what happens?
You made the team.
Okay, but so you know, in a meeting like that, usually once you hear like the beginning of it, it starts like that. Like you don't even hear the rest of it. Because you're already just assuming that you're getting sent down.
So your mind goes into this, all right, I got to go right down to Scranton, and I got this and that, and this whole negative. You imagine, you know it would be great if Volpe was like, well, let me tell you something.
Yeah. Well, he's probably in his mind thinking about it. I can't wait to just air them out about how well I play.
Yeah, open competition, my butt.
Right. That's great for him, man. Those, and it's also like, hey, look over here. Don't mind the fact that 3/5 of our starting rotation is down. You got your shortstop. We don't have pitching, really, but we got our shortstop.
Right. It starts with the, you're going to play IKF over me? Good luck to that, pal.
Yeah. IKF stinks.
He's terrible. Can't defend. He's a third baseman.
Keep him in the outfield, Skip.
Oh, my God. You chose him over me. He can't tie my sneakers.
That'd be hilarious.
How great would that be?
That would be
Then they'd
great.
Probably like tell it to the crew shooting this thing. Listen, do me a favor. Get rid of this tape immediately.
Yeah, right. Burn that tape.
Immediately. What are your expectations for Volpe? I think he's going to be good.
I think he's going to be good. They have enough talent around him where he doesn't have to step in and be the savior. I mean, every Yankee fan was told for how many years, the reason why we're not going to sign one of these, you know, top free agent shortstops is because we have two guys we love in Peraza and Volpe. And you got a taste of Peraza last year, who's probably a better defensive. He's probably a more refined defensive shortstop than Volpe is right now. But as far as like his ability to hit, he's got a really good eye at the plate, his athleticism, his ability to steal bases. Like he's the infusion of youth that this team needs. You don't have anyone like him.
Athleticism to this team, exactly.
Yeah, you don't have anyone like him.
No. Where'd you guess that he bats? I see, for me to take the pressure off him, I would not bat him in the top.
I feel like LeMahieu's gonna lead off.
I hope so. I think he should lead off.
I think LeMahieu leads off, then you let him.
I'd bat him like 8.
Yeah, you don't wanna, I mean, listen, there's enough pressure as it is being the Yankee shortstop. I mean, he's the youngest since Jeter, and those are the names that have been talked about with this kid. He gets it. He clearly gets it. And his teammates, see, the biggest thing is always proving that you belong to your teammates. Same thing with the quarterback, right? Like, the guys know immediately, a couple days of practice, this guy can play or he can't play. And the fact that the Yankees veteran players were like, okay, this guy's our best shortstop, they all buy into him. So he's, I mean, the locker room stuff must be, you know, really good for them to buy in as quickly as they did. So, I mean, he seems like he's made of the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to struggle at some point. We'll see how long
fine.
That lasts.
And that's fine. Let me just, word of advice, if you're a Yankees fan and this kid starts out, you know, 2-for-29, please don't boo him. Please don't. You shouldn't be with the big club. Just give him a long runway, because the mindset is he's going to be your shortstop for a long time. So if it takes a little bit of time, just deal with it. It's fine. It's not the end of the world.
He seems like a stud. He seems like he's going to be a stud. I don't know what it's like. Again, I mean, I'm going to have to see what it looks like when he struggles and how long that lasts and how bad it gets, because everyone's, you're bound to go through it. But yeah, like, don't heap a ton of pressure on him right away. Let him ease his way in, and he's going to do special things, man. He's just that good of an athlete.
Seems
he's going to get on base. He's going to steal bases. He's going to make some like, I'm sure he's going to make some unbelievable plays in the field because he's such a good athlete. I mean, you got bigger concerns, in all honesty.
Oh,
I mean,
your pitching.
Your pitching staff right now is a mess.
So Severino, I didn't realize, I'm sure you did, because you're, as I said the other day, more prepared for the show on a daily basis, day in and day out, than I am. I didn't realize he was so awful in spring training.
He was bad.
It was 15 earned runs in 15 innings.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No, he's awful. And now he's hurt. And God knows how long he's going to be out for.
Again.
He's, because you know why? He's always hurt. So now Rodon is hurt. Severino is hurt. Right? I mean, the
Yankees. And Montas is done.
Montas is done for God knows how long. So now, of the three guys you were counting on to start the season, or of the five guys, three of them are already hurt.
Yes. Which was supposed to be, I mean, the big strength of this team was the rotation, though.
So now you have Cole, who's always ready to roll. And then you have Cortez, who, I don't know how legitimate it was, but had the hamstring issue and didn't go to the World Baseball Classic.
Right. And this is, I mean, Severino had the same thing. Now, this is supposed to be a lower grade lat strain, but cost him 2 months last year.
Right. Exactly that. And he said they caught it before it got too bad. But still, yeah, I mean, for a guy that's always hurt, this has to be a concern.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Especially at the start of the season, man. You want to get off. I mean, if you've been someone that's injured a lot, and he was pissed last year, remember, because they put him on the 60-day, correct, and he thought he was ready, whatever. And then he wanted to pitch in the WBC, and they held him back. And he wanted, I mean, you want to put an end to all that talk. Well, yeah, you hear it. It sucks being hurt. You want to come out, get off to a good start, and just roll. And now you gotta. Now he can't pick up a ball until he's pain-free.
You're putting gasoline on the fire is what you're doing here. Because every concern that the Yankees fans have had is living up to your worst nightmare at the moment. Your starting rotation is a mess physically right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Me, you, RJ, and Raymond on the beach playing a little football, all greased up.
What are we talking about here?
Like the scene in Top Gun from the movie.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, well, because you're a jerk and you won't see it now.
Why am I a jerk? By the way, you're an awful human being.
It's up for an Oscar, the movie.
Please, we could it was shot before the show meeting for a couple of hours, and it would have been up for an Oscar.
RJ, how good was the movie?
It was not a good. Stop it.
Excellent movie.
Stop it. Yeah.
We get you with some jorts, oil you up.
Stop it. Why does everything end with oil with you?
It looks better.
Everything. It's got to be oil.
Well, here it actually is applicable, I think.
Yeah, right.
Why
do you
oil?
Think when they do Mr. Olympia, they're tanned up and oiled?
Those are muscular men. They want to accentuate their muscles.
Yeah, maybe if you didn't get dropped by NJ Diet, you'd have muscles too.
Okay. NJ Diet's program starts with a Well, here's what I'm saying. I heard what you said about me.
What?
Off the air.
What did I say?
You're a bad human being.
What did I say?
No. You know what? If I were Raymond and you said that about me, you know what I would have said? In my younger days, I would have opened the studio door and slug you right in the nose.
Oh, dear.
I'm not a violent person like Raymond, but if I were, exactly what I would have done.
What did I say?
You are nasty.
Well, I don't even know what I said.
Oh, you want me to tell everyone what you said?
Wait, what is it? What is it concerning?
The NJ Diet read.
It wasn't quite up to the level of why Ray got mad last week, but you know what? This is like a notch below. This is like the AAA level.
It was tremendously nasty, RJ.
It's not nice.
And
funny, but not nice.
And unfounded. Why would he take a shot? Why would he do that? Monday morning, right off the bat, you want to tussle?
Do you want to just peel back the entire curtain?
Peel back the entire curtain. So NJ Diet, I guess NJ Diet requested, you know what, we would like Rick to do our reads from now on and not me, which is fine. And he says, why is Dave not doing these reads anymore? Is he too fat? They don't want him?
That's not what I said. What?
RJ?
That's not what I said.
RJ?
That's what you said. He laughed at his own joke back at him.
That's not what, and then you get to deny it. So not only do you make horrendous, nasty jokes about people you supposedly really care about, on top of that, you deny. So you deny and you lie, is what you do.
What happened? I don't understand.
Over the weekend,
I was in the trust tree in the nest with you.
Listen, I mean, all we can do is report on what's happened. And over the weekend, there was a discretion at place, and Dave has been benched.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what else went into it.
And that's fine. And did you hear me complain about it? No, because I'm a team player. I wasn't like, oh, I can't believe Rick stole my read. No, they said Rick probably would do it better than Dave. Let's give it to Rick.
My understanding was this is not something you were really going to complain about anyway, so...
Well, no, I'm not angry about it, but that's not the point. The point is to say something so nasty.
You want to tussle?
So So nasty.
I can't get over the fact that, yeah, as a 50-year-old man, you're eating applesauce cups. It's amazing.
Why? They're delicious. Know. And they're low calorie.
I can't get over it.
Why?
I don't know. It just is funny to me.
Why?
I'll have a turkey wrap, some Progresso, and
I made my own turkey wrap too.
Delicious.
Had some sliced fresh turkey, put it into a whole wheat wrap.
Nice.
Little vinegar.
Vinegar?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, there's no calories in vinegar.
Well, even the mustard either.
Yeah, I don't like mustard on turkey.
You don't like turkey on mustard?
Turkey on mustard? No, or mustard on turkey? No.
It's a shot. Put that down.
Is that a shot?
Yeah, it's a shot.
No, he brutalized the English language. It's not a shot. Trying to help.
Hey, you want a tussle?
You like that, huh? Yeah. Final four, it's all set. If you'd allow me to get through a read for a second.
I was just imagining us on the beach having a good time. That's it. Sorry.
With oils.
Yeah.
UConn advances over Gonzaga. Oils. You Gonzaga or Gonzaga guy?
It's Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Well, they're the Zags, not the Zogs.
It's a fair point. I like Gonzaga. And FAU, Florida Atlantic, beats Kansas State Saturday. Then yesterday, SDSU, that's San Diego State to you and me, they get by Creighton after a questionable foul call at the end. And Miami's late comeback leads them past Texas. It'll be San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, followed by UConn and Miami on Saturday. And this Hoops update is brought to you by New Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Oh, it's here. Born for what's next. Born for a bolder taste. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Born for this. Enjoy responsibly. Do you want an unbelievable it's not even a stat. It's just a piece of information about Miami basketball.
Wait, is this the Jordan Miller stat or no?
Jordan Miller was awesome yesterday.
Awesome.
Didn't miss a shot. He was perfect from the floor. I think he was 7 for 7 and perfect from the line as well. What was he at the line? Like 11 for 11?
He was 13 for 13.
13 for 13. That's amazing.
Hell yeah.
So how about this now? 1985 is like, that's not that long ago, right? I mean, it's a while back, but it's not like 1947, right? Like it's,
yeah, okay.
Miami, and I just saw this yesterday. I was like, wait, this can't be true. I did a little research. It's true. Miami dropped their college basketball program from 1971 and brought it back in 1985.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that.
Isn't that an amazing piece of information?
Well, that's a beautiful nugget.
No, really. Like, can you believe that?
No.
That Miami, which is a major, major school, dropped their college basketball team and only picked it back up in 1985.
No, I didn't realize that at all.
Yeah.
That's a nice little piece of information, David.
See, now you're armed with that and you can go about your day.
Right.
Let's get to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Jake in Miami. Very appropriate. Jake, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Jake. How are we doing today?
Good morning, Jake.
Just wanted to say, longtime listener, don't tell Michael, Don, and them boys, but you have become my exclusive listen. On 98.7.
I don't understand why. I don't understand why, though. Like, if you were to say I like your show better, fine. But why can you not listen to their show just because you like our show?
Oh, I listen to their show, but you have surpassed them.
Okay, so we're not the exclusive listen.
Yeah, I listen to them occasionally, but you guys, I listen every morning, and then if I don't catch it, I catch it on the app.
Beautiful. Well, we appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. So. Quick 2 points on the Volpe. I wanted to say that I'm so glad that you guys said that these Yankee fans, because I'm a big-time Yankee fan, need to give him a minute, because all these fans are going to come in. He's, like you said, he's going to go 2 for 29, and these fans are going to call for him, get him out of the big leagues. Look at what the Astros did with Peña last year. You need to let the guy play. You need to let him bat, start him at 8 or 9, and as the season progresses, move him up. If he struggles, let him play through it, because it's going to reward them in the end. And like you said, shortstop of the future. Thanks, guys.
That's a good call. There's no two ways about this. Anthony, unless something completely unforeseen happens, Anthony Volpe should be starting at shortstop every single day this season for the Yankees.
Yeah, outside of an injury, yeah.
Right. Well, that's the unforeseen. Like,
that's why you keep him, though. But I mean, that's the commitment you make when you keep him. Right. I mean, there's a reason why, and we'll get into it with the Mets stuff. I mean, the Mets felt like they already had a third baseman, and they don't want to stunt the growth of a young player.
Correct.
Sitting him on the bench.
Correct. And they do have a third baseman. The Yankees don't. I mean, they said last season in the playoffs, we can't play our shortstop.
Right.
We can't play him.
No, and Escobar was unbelievable in September. So, I mean, I think he's got all his personal stuff figured out, so they're expecting, and you know how much Buck loves him and all the players love him. So a different situation. But yeah, listen, I think Volpe's the kind of guy, though, for me, watching him play this spring, it feels like even if he's not hitting, he's gonna bring something to the table every day that's going to help you win. Whatever it is. It could be, I mean, how well he runs the bases. It could be stealing a base. It could be a play in the field. Like, the kid just has that. It feels like watching him play, he has that it.
Yeah, he has the it factor. How much do you think, and you would know this because this is, you know, kind of your purview of being in the big leagues in hockey and knowing the ins and outs. How much do you think that Cashman and Boone and whoever else, front office staff, sat down and said, all right, we think he's ready, but it's New York. And if he does go 2-for-29 and they do boo him, is he built to be able to handle something like that? Do you think that's part of the yes. narrative that they actually discuss?
Absolutely. Dude, I'm telling you, I told you the story a bunch of times. When we had Cashman on the show, he said that the reason why, this is when Glaber was first, like, when was Glaber going to be up? They didn't take him up initially because they knew he didn't play well in cold weather. So they had him start down, and we're going to wait till the weather got warmer so he could get him, and he could make sure, they made sure that when he got up, he would actually have the best chance to succeed. That's got to be part of it. There's been too many guys that have already established themselves as Major League Baseball players that come into New York and can't handle it.
Can't handle it at all. Right? I mean, it goes back.
Just like Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo, and this is kind of sad. Joey Gallo feels like he just can't handle anywhere now.
No, but Joey Gallo, I mean, like, the guy could still hit bombs before he was a Yankee. All of a sudden he became a Yankee, and it was just...
Can't touch the ball.
Ruined him.
Yeah, couldn't even touch it. Here is Brian Cashman on Volpe breaking camp with the big club.
The obvious exclamation point here is Anthony Volpe came into camp and took this position. He should be congratulated. It was well played. He's earned the right to take that spot for the New York Yankees as we open the 2023 season, and we're excited for him and excited for us.
They should be excited. I mean, you have some young, I mean, you have a young athletic player. They don't have that on this team.
This is what they wanted. This is what they wanted. This is, I mean, in a quiet moment, the only reason why you say, you announce it, that it's an open competition is because that you want this kid to win the job.
And he won the job. And you would have looked ridiculous had you not given him the job.
Dude, it would have sent such a bad message to your clubhouse.
Because really what you would be saying is we're lying. We lied.
Right.
Because the way he was in spring training, he had to win this job. So if he didn't win it, you say, you know, we're going to play whoever else at shortstop to start the season, you would have basically told us that it wasn't an open competition, and we lied to Volpe and we lied to you.
Yeah, all you had to say, like, if there was real concern, all you had to say was, listen, I mean, he's going to go through the spring. We know he's going to be a great player, but he still needs some time to develop.
Right.
But they said open competition, and the kid eliminated all their excuses. I mean, he went out and snatched the job.
There was really nothing they could do.
No, but dude, I mean, let's be honest, though. Like, I mean, they couldn't play IKF last season. Peraza's a good player. And at some point, that might be your middle infield. Might be Peraza at short and Volpe at second.
Mm.
But, like, I mean, we've always heard about Volpe. So if you're going to open this up to those three players, and you know how highly you think of Volpe, I mean, deep down inside, Aaron Boone's like, I hope this kid, like, knowing his skill set, I hope he goes out and he puts so much pressure on us that we got to have him break camp with us.
By the way, season starts Thursday.
Oh, I know.
Thursday.
Oh, I know.
Yankees 1:00 at the stadium on Thursday.
How about I mentioned on the show last week that I was getting in touch with the Mets about those about that little speakeasy situation?
What do you mean?
I told you I was going to contact the Mets about that little speakeasy thing that they had going on.
Right.
Yep. Email. Boom. Email back.
Wait. Hang on a second.
What?
This is not something you just drop in the middle of a segment. What's happening here? Who emailed who? What's the end result? What's happening?
I emailed them. We talked about it. RJ got me all fired up about it.
Yeah.
I emailed them. He emailed me immediately back, said he listens to the show, heard us talking about it. So then...
Who is he?
He's in charge of the seating,
okay.
The tickets.
Okay.
So I emailed him back, phone call set up for today.
So what are you looking... What is the end goal you're looking to have happening?
Maybe a speakeasy.
We'll go to a speakeasy.
Yeah, maybe the speakeasy.
Do I have to dress like the 1920s if I go to a speakeasy?
I'll find out.
Is there going to be a phonograph playing a record in a Victrola, as it
no.
would be?
No.
No.
No. No. No, it's just a nice upscale, nice little lounge. I think.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't wait. I'm interested.
Would we be going as a show?
Well, I don't know how it works. I think you buy the ticket. Oh. I think you buy the membership.
You don't
think
the Mets will give us like a taste?
No, I think they'll give us a taste, but I think if you get the membership, I think you can get guest passes to bring in a couple guests with you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. But I'll find all that out today.
Mets home opener next Thursday.
Yeah, Justin Verlander.
That's right. So, yeah. So how about this Thursday, by the way? How gorgeous is this? You get Yankees at 1, Mets at 4.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
It's sensational.
You can take a nice little nap.
I could take my nap, and I can still watch the Yankees at 1. Weather's supposed to be good in New York on Thursday, so that's nice as well. All right, 1-800-919-3776. On what Anthony Volpe has learned so far in spring training.
I just think watching guys' routines and how they get ready for a game one, but then kind of the long haul of the season has been something I haven't really been exposed to that much. So I just think little things like that, how they approach early stretch, early cages, working out after the game, stuff like that. So I've definitely taken a lot of things from those types.
I don't know what he's going to be, but I will tell you one thing. Sometimes you hear guys and you think, I don't know. It doesn't exude confidence. I don't feel like that with this kid at all. I feel the opposite. I feel like he has been primed and ready to be in this position almost his entire life.
Well, so far he hasn't disappointed.
Not at all. With anything on the field, off the field.
Right. From taking his hat off to meet Lou Piniella to what you saw on the field to now, I mean, what he was just talking about. So people know, like, that's one of the biggest things you need to learn as a young kid. When you come up, you always hear about how long the season is. You know, I mean, the rookie wall, but it's fine. And we're having a veteran kind of take you under their wing. Hopefully that's Judge or Rizzo or one of these guys and show you what it takes, like what the routine should look like. And then you kind of tweak it and find out what you like. And then it becomes part of what you do as a major league player or an NHL player. But it's a bit of adjustment. It really is.
I'm sure it will be. And now you're playing every single day, and you're playing in front of big crowds.
It's the best pitchers. I mean, it's going to be
you're playing
a
for
lot.
The Yankees. This is not.
You're the shortstop. You're not just playing for the Yankees. You're the shortstop for the Yankees.
More famous position, shortstop or center field for the Yankees.
Ooh.
I mean, Mantle.
I think now you'd probably just because Jeter's a short. I know, but now I mean this generation would probably say short
because of Jeter. RJ, you're the Yankees fan. Well, Raymond, you are too. When you think of the iconic position in all of sports, and you think baseball, is it center field or shortstop for the Yankees?
I think historically it's probably center field. Recency bias would say shortstop, but
yeah, but to you though, he's not asking Yankees. Like, to you as a Yankees fan, what position would you equate with, like?
Yeah, I mean, shortstop for the Yankees for any baseball fan. I don't know, 35, 40 and under. If I gave you all of baseball. You'd probably say shortstop for the Yankees.
Is what the position in all of baseball, right?
I think so. Right now,
what is the is there one spot in football? Probably not, right?
Probably quarterback for the Cowboys.
Quarterback for the Cowboys, you think?
What do you mean you think? I mean,
I'm not going to answer that question. But
look what being the quarterback of the Cowboys does for you. Who's got the most commercials in the NFL? Probably
is it Dak?
He's right there. Yeah.
All right.
Tony Romo's making what $17-18 million a year. Troy, same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Leads you right into huge paydays.
What's the spot?
Hockey doesn't have it, does it? Do they? Canadians?
No, something? Just being Connor McDavid, really.
Well, if you're just great, then you get it. But
yeah, if you're Connor McDavid, yeah, solid.
Say center for the Oilers.
No,
that's just happenstance.
No, I would say best player on the Maple Leafs.
Best player on the Maple Leafs is the big draw in all of hockey?
Yeah, dude, you can't even. Those guys can't even walk around in Toronto. It's crazy.
Well, Toronto, but not internationally. Like, you think if you're talking hockey in Dallas?
Well, dude, I mean, hockey in general. No, I mean, yeah, everyone in Dallas knows who Austin Matthews is.
Southwest boy.
Guys, I mean, Arizona, I don't know how many people know that, but I don't know how many people know he's American.
I don't think many people realize.
I think most people know that he's American.
I don't know about that.
Most sports fans know that he's an American.
How many of you think knew he grew up in Arizona?
This is hard for me to play this game because I know it, and I'm not usually good at what other people know and don't know.
I don't think you can. I don't think you compare hockey to the NFL.
So NFL, Major League Baseball. Is there a basketball thing? Something with the Celtics? Point guard with the Lakers?
I don't do this. I mean, you could be a star anywhere now in the NBA.
Well, that's a difference.
Same with the NFL, but I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess the Lakers probably.
Lakers, Celtics, center with the Celtics, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know about that anymore.
No?
No, because center's not the... I mean, center is not the
sexy
position anymore.
Yeah, it's really not.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.